course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, can't complain too bad. The other day went outside. It was a little foggy. Try not to drift into the mist too far, you know?
Yeah, it's funny. I don't know what it is. Fog is a very used thing in horror, you know? I mean, we got, you know, there's The Fog, the movie. And then there's, in the Silent Hill world. And then they use the fog in Supernatural. And I'm sure there's been many, many other instances. I don't know. What is it about fog that makes it so spooky to people? I think fog's kind of cool looking.
I do too. I like fog, but I can see why somebody might think it's a little spooky.
I guess maybe that's why I like it. I mean, maybe that it's spooky and creepy. Maybe that's why I like fog. Probably wouldn't like the fog in the movie we're reviewing today, Return to Silent Hill. That's coming up later in the show. Very quickly, before we dive in to everything, we did miss an episode last week. Our apologies. Sometimes the scheduling just happens that way. Sometimes that's just the way it be. So just very quickly, Ike, what did you think of 28 Years Later, The Bone Temple, the movie we were supposed to review last week?
Oh, I loved it. Like you said, we missed last week, but like you said, shit happened, guys. But 28 Years Later, The Bone Temple, man. So great sequel to 28 Years Later. I think it did a really good job of picking right up where the last movie left off. This is definitely very much a separate story to what we saw in 20 Years Later, but it had a nice little emotion to it in a way, where we get to kind of see a little bit more into the crazy mind of Jimmy. And then of course, we get to kind of see some familiar faces, especially during a little sneak peek at the end of the movie, which sets us up for the third movie, most likely. So that's super exciting.
Yeah, I actually thought I think I liked it better than 28 Years Later.
I think so.
And that's not putting that movie down. I just think I like this a little bit. And the funny thing is, though, when I started to watch it at first, I was like, I don't know. I'm like, at first, I was just like, I don't think I'm going to like this, because it felt like it kind of got started a little slower. I guess slower than I thought, maybe. It was weird. But then, man, when it didn't take too long, but when it got going, it was great from there on out. So, that was, I guess, just the main thing. I don't know what I was expecting. I don't know if I just thought coming out of the gates it would be just over the top. But I don't know. It was that weird at the beginning. I was like, I don't know. This is – but then, I loved it. And then it's got me hyped. I've just already am thinking, oh, hell, I'm going to love the third one even better now.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm curious to see, how they pull all this together and tie in some of this and what they do in the third one now. Because they're definitely not just phoning it in. They're definitely coming up with some good stuff, telling a good story here. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I'm very much looking forward to the third one. So, all right. So off the top of your head, then, before we get into it, did you watch anything else?
Let's see. Honestly, not really. I'd say I watched some non-horror stuff. I was able to finish Silent Hill 2 prior to watching the movie, so I did get to play that game all the way through. I'm now about to start Silent Hill F, which is like the newer Silent Hill game. It's based in Japan, I believe. Other than that, I've not really been able to watch too much. I watched The Bear. I finished the new season of that, which is really good, but that's not horror related.
Yeah. Let's see. I was trying to think back. I think I told you I did watch the movie Marshmallow, which is on. Ooh, I don't remember what it's on now. I want to say Shudder. Forgive me if I'm wrong on that. But again, I think it's been out just a couple years, I think. But whatever I don't know, maybe not. But whatever the case may be, it was a really good movie. And I really, really enjoyed it. But other than that, I didn't watch anything else either. But would definitely recommend everybody go out and see Marshmallow. Again, I think it's on Shudder.
I think so.
Yeah, so everybody, go give that a watch. It's a fun movie to watch. So then, okay. Well, then let's take a little bitty break. And when we come back, we'll have our news and birthdays and all that stuff. So stick around. make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news.
And welcome back with the news. All right, so starting us off on the top here, speaking of Return to Silent Hill, the official novelization of the movie is now available. Fantastic. Like I always say that, like, I love it when these movies do novelizations because it kind of expands upon the universe. And we'll talk about it more later. I would say that I'm pretty well versed in the Silent Hill lore and just Silent Hill in general. So this movie was definitely different than like the game and like both games, because there's two games. There's the original one from I think like the late 90s or the early 2000s, and then there's obviously the one they released I believe last year is the remake of that game. So to see that they're doing a novelization is great. There's not a whole lot of Silent Hill books out there, which is surprising. There's only a handful. But no, I'm super excited. I have it on my Amazon wish list, so I'll hopefully be getting that soon.
I'm not so sure this will be something I get, but I do love novelizations. Especially, I mean, as a kid of the 80s, where everything had a novelization. I mean, movies, TV shows, it all had novelizations. And I've always been a big fan and proponent, and I've always collected a lot of novelizations from back then. But yet, even current stuff like the Terrifier movies and they just recently released one for the Maniac Cop trilogy, which is, I got to get that. That's pretty cool. But yeah, I'm a big fan. I'm glad to see that novelizations are making a bit of a comeback, and it just makes sense that this would be a thing that would really click in with horror, and it works because I think my gut says overall, I think horror fans are readers a lot of times, right? Because there's a lot of good horror that you can experience by reading. And then there's obviously a lot of horror based on, you know, novels and writings and stuff. So I think I'm going to go out on a limb and say, as a generalized statement, that us horror fans are readers. And yes. So I think novelization is just, I think it works well for horror fans.
No, yeah, 100%. And I definitely agree with that. I love reading horror books, and it's, I don't know, it's just another outlet in which to get the spookies, and definitely something I like to enjoy occasionally, so for sure. But it is on Amazon. I think it's also on a couple of different websites, so if anybody out there wants to go grab it, it should be pretty accessible. Right now it is just available digitally and on a paperback. I did check because I am a sucker for hardcovers. Mm-hmm. So there's not a hardcover of this novel, and there probably won't be. They typically don't do all that with these kinds of things, but for sure, you know, softbacks are still good. You know, paperbacks are still very much worth rereading. It's just, I don't know, I like the structural integrity of a hardback. I don't know, it's hard to explain.
Yeah, I don't mind paperbacks, but if it's something that I really like, or that I really want, or, you know, something that I'm really avid about, I like hardcover too. Because I like it and it typically, in a lot of cases, if you get a hardcover, there's added stuff, right? You get these hardcover, you know, whatever expanded deluxe edition type things and stuff, and you can only get those. So I'm one of those that I want everything, right? I want every little line that you're going to write on it. So I want that deluxe edition. And that's why they kill me when they come out with like editions afterward, right? Where it's always this is the second edition, third edition. Because it's like, okay, fine, you added a paragraph. Now I'm going to have to buy this one because I got to see that. And they know how to get my money.
Yes, they do. That's not a bad thing, though. You know, if they want to take my money, they can take my money. But very good. But all right, we're going to move on to bumping up to the next little news here. Silent Night, Deadly Night is being released on physical media on February 17th. And we're not talking about the original. We're talking about the remake that we reviewed not too long ago. Generally positive reviews from us on the remake. It's a good time. It's a good fun time, especially for a Christmas horror movie. And I think it does right by the original. So, if you want to catch it on physical media, You know, Dave and I here listening to their screams are huge proponents of physical media, always have been. So definitely we support, you know, the continuing rise in popularity for physical media. In fact, I saw that speaking of Return to Silent Hill, there is going to be a physical media version of Return to Silent Hill. And we can talk about this a little bit later. I don't know if this is true, but it's rumored that different theaters got different endings to that movie.
Weird.
Because it's a trope in Silent Hill that the games have different endings, right? So Silent Hill 2 Remake has 8 different endings, and you obtain these endings by taking different actions through the duration of the video game. So there's a rumor, and it was somewhat substantiated because someone part of the production was like, which ending did you get? And so that made everyone think, wait, there's more than one ending. So see if that ever gets fully substantiated, or if, like, when they do the physical media release, if we get any more information about it on that. But in any case, love physical media. So if you want to catch up, Silent Night, Deadly Night on physical media, that will be coming out on February the 17th. So not too far from now.
Yeah. I love physical media. And yeah, I think this is definitely one that I like to have, because I would think there would be maybe some cool special features with this one. Probably I would venture to guess there's probably even some decent deleted scenes from this. I just what my gut says. So yeah, I think this is one I may seek out and get on physical media.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's weird because you can have the original on physical media and then you can pop this one on physical media too. So that'd be pretty neat.
Yeah, I was going to say, it'd be really cool if they could do that. If they could do a like in one pack, like do a double pack with the original. I mean, I don't know, again, with, you know, you never know with all the rights and blah, blah, blah. But it would be very cool if they could put out like a little set that has both, you know, the original and this, and then some extras and whatnot. And I'm always a sucker if they do, you know, like little documentaries or little behind, you know, comment, you know, whatever. So, yeah, that'd be really cool. I'd love to see a little set with both of them in there with a lot of extra features.
Absolutely. Love extra features. That's, like I said, that's one of my, like, I guess, quote unquote, I guess it's like a boomer thing, right? That's what they say these days, is that special features and stuff. It's kind of like an old fashioned thing. They don't really do it all that much anymore. So yeah, I'm very much excited for that, and yeah, I'd be cool some special features, see some behind the scenes stuff, definitely, because it was a great movie. I quite enjoyed it. So, but all right, cool. Well, we're gonna move on now to our last little bit of news. This one's not as fun, but of course, sort of an in memoriam. Mark Jones, the director and writer of Leprechaun, has passed away on January 18th at the age of 72. Of course, for those of us, you know, who have not listened to the show before or ever heard Dave and I talk about the Leprechaun, we both have a very special place in our heart for the Leprechaun. It's one of those bad movies that you love to love. And it's such a fun movie. The original has Jen Aniston in it, which is, you know, crazy to think about that she was in a movie like the Leprechaun. This was obviously prior to her fame that she garnered with Friends and other projects of that nature. So, but no, absolutely. The Leprechaun is fantastic, and we will, you know, very dearly miss Mark Jones for his creative work on that, for sure.
Yeah, and it's funny, you know, you say a bad movie that is great. You know, Leprechaun, in retrospect, though, when you see some of the sequels, you're like, okay, Leprechaun wasn't that bad. It's could have been worse. It's the best of the series, but yeah, I love Leprechaun, and a fun movie. And yeah, a lot of that, obviously, you know, as writer and director, all a big chunk of that falls right on the shoulders of Mark Jones. Yeah, it's a shame. You know, I hate when these guys pass away. I hate when anybody passes away, but you know, especially someone that you have some admiration for and you kind of look up to a little bit and admire their work. And it's that almost like that jolting realization of, oh, damn, now I'm never going to get any more work from them. You know, I'm not saying that's the key proponent of it, but it's like this harsh reality all of a sudden. Oh, man, you know, they were so creative, and now you don't get it. You know, you don't get to see anything new. So, yeah, it sucks when stuff like this happens, but.
No, absolutely. And I mean, and like you said, it's like, as people who consume this media, we have that like selfish thought, like, you know, I hate that they're gone, because obviously it's a horrible thing for their family, but also I'm never going to get to see anything from them again. I 100% get that. That's a really valid thing to think too, because this is obviously a tangent, because I love going on tangents. But so one of my favorite animes of all time, perhaps my favorite anime of all time, is Dragon Ball Z. Huge fan of Dragon Ball. In fact, I'm wearing a Dragon Ball Z shirt as we're recording this. So Dragon Ball, the creator, was a gentleman named Akira Toriyama. And he passed away a few years ago, I think 2023. But oh my God, when he passed away, I was so upset. I was like, I've never met this guy before. But like, I've been watching Dragon Ball since I was a wee tot. And it's insane, because when someone like that passed away that you've had around for so many years in some fashion, you sort of develop like a parasocial relationship with them in a way where it's like, oh yeah, I love their content. They're fantastic. So when they die, it's like, oh wow, that's someone I knew who died. And you didn't really know him though.
Yeah. I have that reaction too. When, you know, certain people, you know, pass away like that, it's like you definitely feel a connection, and that's a testament, right, to their talents and their work. That if you feel that connection, then they've done something special. And that's what they, you know, I'm sure part of what they seek out. So, yeah, I've definitely experienced that too. I can't even remember. I was thinking when you said there was someone, I can't remember, within the past year or half a year, even someone passed away, and I literally had tears in my eyes, and I went to Monica. I'm like, this person passed away. Is this weird that I'm having this intense a reaction to this person that I've never spoke to? And, you know, but it was someone that I can't remember who it was now. It's someone that I think, if I recall right, someone that anybody knows me is like, knew that this was someone I was a big fan of, and can't recall who it was. I guess maybe I wasn't as big a fan as I thought.
Well, it's really morbid to say, but there's been so many celebrity deaths, I would say, in just the past year. I feel like this last year and a half or so has been just so full of celebrity deaths. It's insane.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I feel like I remember us talking about this too on the show at that time, but I don't recall who it was. But I mean, yeah. Absolutely.
I'll have to ask Monica to jar my memory, because it's going to bug me now, but I can't remember. It was someone that it really hit me hard.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and it happens, right? Varying degrees like that, though. It's, you know, someone that you're a big fan of passes, and it definitely hurts, because you do feel like you're losing. I don't know. You feel, you know, right or wrong, and sometimes these thoughts get to dangerous, sickening levels. But you do feel a connection to them, and yes, you know, some people that can't keep it in check, right? It gets weird when they think there's more there than there is, but. But there's definitely at least, you know, some form of a connection and admiration there. And yeah, I think it's, you know, it's natural, and it, part of what makes us human.
No, absolutely. And that's what I was going to say. It's, you know, it's part of that connection that you garner when you watch film and you participate in media, you know? So, but absolutely. So very good. Let's see, Mark Jones, in memoriam. So obviously, you know, keep his family in your thoughts for those of us who are out there watching and listening. But we're going to jump now to the other side of that, which is some birthdays, right? The other side of passing away is being born. So the celebration of life and whatnot. But we're going to look at here our first one. This is a fan favorite, especially a favorite for the show. We have Damian Leone, who was born on January 29th, 1982. And, of course, he's best for his works in the Terrifier series. I mean, that's straight up Terrifier. I mean, that is iconic. Terrifier is perhaps one of our favorite films of the 21st century, really. So absolutely, where we love Damian Leone, and we're obviously super excited that he was born. Very happy about that, in fact.
Yeah, I mean, Art the Clown, you know, is one of our favorite characters ever created, right? Right up there with all the greats. And yeah, and of course, his birthday, as of the day that we're recording and release, because we're a touch behind schedule as we get back on track. This was actually yesterday, but you know, we're still gonna leave it in there, because it, you know, hey, it's him. We still want to mention it. So,
no, absolutely. But no, I mean, you know, obviously Damian Leone also still working on Terrifier 4, so he definitely deserves an extra special happy birthday this year.
That's right.
But all right, happy birthday, Damian, and we're going to jump now to another legend of the business. We have February 3rd, 1970, Warwick Davis, of course. He played the Leprechaun in Leprechaun, speaking of. He was also in Return of the Jedi, as well as many, many, many things. Warwick Davis has a pretty extensive IMDb, you know, and he really is a pioneer of, you know, little people in cinema because, you know, there's definitely been a stigma to that. And he's definitely kind of helped beat that stigma and get work for himself as well as other people. So definitely a pioneer, but also just such a fantastic person. For everything I've heard, he's such a nice guy.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, actors I'd love to meet. And but he, yeah, he's speaking of movies that are not that good that you like. He's in a movie from when I was young that I always enjoyed, and I haven't watched it for many years, but I always loved it. And I don't think it's that great a movie if I'm remembering right though. But it's called Time Bandits. He was in that, and of course he was in Willow. Of course, I forgot to mention that. Yeah, I mean that's a huge
Oh,
movie.
yeah.
I love Willow. So yeah, he's. I mean he's. You know, just he's got a great catalog, great body of work.
Absolutely. I mean, like you said, I mean, he's done a lot of stuff that isn't listed here. These are just some of the most popular things, and specifically horror. But yeah, Warwick Davis has done so much stuff. It's just crazy. But he's still doing stuff, I hear. I know his mobility is a little bit less now these days, but I hear he's still working and, you know, producing and being active in the scene.
Yeah, I loved it when I think when Phantom Menace, the Star Wars, I think it was the first, the Phantom Menace one, when it came out, and he was in there, where was it? Like they during the pod racing or somewhere around there, right? He's like just in a group, like a group, a kind of a tight shot of the group. I think he was, you know, doing something, betting on the race or you know, something, but he was there just momentarily, and it was so cool to see him, you know, knowing his history with the Star Wars franchise, and you know, playing. I mean, you know, played. You know, Wicket the Ewok, which, you know,
Yeah.
love them or hate them, you can't deny the cultural impact of the Ewoks and everything else, and it's still a very major role in the franchise. But it was cool to see him have a little bit. I think it was a Phantom Menace, like I said. So, and he's done. I mean, again, he's done so many things that we could do a whole episode or two just talking about his body of work.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Especially, and you know, we could even dive in all the way into like his work with specifically. You know, Star Wars. I mean, he's done quite a bit for Star Wars, even outside of like, you know, small little roles and stuff. So it's crazy. But all right, but we'll move on from Mr. Davis. Happy birthday to him. But we have one more birthday here. We have this is another legend. February 4th of 1940, we have the original terror in terms of zombies, the undead, the purveyor of the grotesque, if you will, George A. Romero. George Romero, of course, known for his roles in creating things like Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead, Land of the Dead, inspiring all of these different of the dead things. And even by proxy, you know, sort of launched the Return of the Living Dead franchise, you know, overseas, the zombie movies. Even further than that, you could even argue that George Romero spawned the modern zombie movement in terms of, you know, zombie content just in general. So, absolutely. I mean, George Romero is an absolute legend, as it is with zombies specifically, but also horror.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much what everybody visualizes and portrays a zombie to be is because George Romero created that. That was his vision of a zombie. And yeah, and even to this, I mean, his children are doing work, and I mean, I can't remember the movie that I just watched not too long ago with that his daughter did. About the zombie breakout at a drag show, Queens of the Dead, I think is what it was
Queens
called.
Of the Dead, yeah.
And then, you know, and I know there's, I'm pretty sure there's still stuff being worked on where it's some unfinished works of his, right? Stuff he was working on writing and different things that maybe didn't get all the way through, you know, polished all the way through and whatever has still been out there. And I think some of them are getting, you know, his family's working on them and they're getting treatments and we might see some of that. So it's, you know, even him being gone, we're still seeing new stuff from him. And then again, not to mention the indirect, right? I mean, without George Romero, there would be no Walking Dead world, right? I mean, that's those zombies are there. Those are Romero zombies.
Yeah.
And so it's a, yeah, I mean, it's his impact in pop culture and entertainment is, it's beyond any writing or directing or whatever. It's that next level of you know, his creation has crossed into a new realm. I mean, just think of any little dorky zombie, whatever it may be, on a greeting card or anything that's not even branded or anything that, but that has that look and that approach or the brains thing. That's Romero, right? No, wait. I stand back, right? The brains were not Romero. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was the guy who did Return of
Yes.
the Living Dead. So in the original Night of the Living Dead, they basically disagreed on whether the
That's
zombies should
right.
be brains or flesh.
That's right. So, but anyway, that just that look though, and that the slow movement and the prodding, that's Romero.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but such a huge impact.
No, absolutely. I always say, and I've had this conversation before where I've told people, like, I think that George A. Romero is obviously perhaps one of the most important, perhaps one of the most important, what's the word I'm looking for? People within horror in general, but specifically for zombie movies, I would say without George A. Romero, we would not have the modern zombie that we have today. And I always say that because, I mean, genuinely speaking, I mean, it's true. I mean, he is the reason we have things like The Walking Dead, Resident Evil, even. My favorite video game franchise of all time, Resident Evil, was inspired by George Romero. In fact, George Romero was supposed to direct the first Resident Evil movie in the early 2000s, but it fell through. There's an entire documentary about his version of the Resident Evil that they were going to make. It just never got made. So it's like, without George Romero, we would not have 100% of what we have today, for sure.
Yeah, it just blows my mind that concept of what it would be like to have something that you thought up and created. And probably when when you first do it, you can look at it and be like, oh, this is good. I like this. I'm proud of this. But not to have the concept of what that will be.
Yeah.
And then it's so wild to me to think that having something that you created or a concept that you had, an idea that you had, whatever it might be, and then to become just known so worldwide. I mean, I think about that on so many levels and so many things out there in the world, right? I mean, you know, the whatever it is, any you think of any brand, character, whatever it is, that's just so widely known throughout the world, and think, man, what was it like? What would it be like to know that you created that? And it has to be surreal again, because I'm guessing a lot of these people, when you first create, you obviously don't know that that's going to happen. And you might be proud of it or think, oh, that's pretty good. But I would almost venture to guess sometimes there's a even you're even looking at it, it's like, oh, okay, well, I don't know. I'll put it out there. It's okay. Whatever. Maybe I'll do better next time. You know, not even a little bit of self-deprecation, not even
You're right.
knowing. And you never think something you make is the best you can do, right? That's why you keep doing it. You always think you can do more or do better. But it's, I don't know, it's mind-blowing to me that concept of thinking something you may get to that level. It would be weird.
No, 100%. And it's disbelief, really, truly
Yeah.
is. But I know that Romero has passed, obviously, but I definitely think that he is in spirit still fueling the zombie craze that we still have to this day. So
That always will. I don't think it'll ever go
always
away.
will. No, it'll never go away. Zombies are just such a fun and fun niche of horror. It'll never go away.
Yep.
But
Even if it fades for a bit, it'll always come. It always comes back. It always
absolutely.
does. But I don't even know at this stage of the game if it'll fade, because there's just zombies and zombie spin-off stuff everywhere. It's just so
Oh,
prominent now.
1,000%. But all right, we're gonna say happy birthday, and we miss you, Mr. Romero. Hope you're doing good where you may be. Hopefully, you're not with the Living Dead. But we got a couple movie anniversaries here, so we'll rock through these. We have January 31st, 2003. We have Final Destination 2. We love the Final Destination movies here. I listen to their screams. We in fact reviewed the Final Destination Bloodlines when that came out. Either last year or the year before. And yeah, I mean, Final Destination is great. Tony Todd is a mainstay of the Final Destination franchise as well, which is another legend of the business. But also those movies are fantastic 2000s horror that don't get appreciated enough. And I hope that well, late 90s too. I think the first one was what, 99 or something like that technically.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So, but Final Destination 2 and beyond have made some pretty iconic moments. For instance, Final Destination 2 is where everyone gets their fear of driving behind a log truck.
Yeah.
So iconic.
Yeah, you still see that everywhere, right? I mean, all over the place. You can't go a whole week probably of scrolling through something on social media and someone has taken a picture of a logging truck and said, uh-oh, or something, yo. And you don't even have to say, you don't even have to put anything about Final Destination, and everybody knows what you're talking about. And it's weird. But yeah, and this is still, you know, when 2 comes out, I mean, it's still when it's kind of young and fresh and really, you know, it's, I think, I don't know, Final Destination, you know, I think people forget at this stage of the game now, and because there's so many of them and it's been a while, I mean, how it was really a fresh approach. It was really unique.
It really was.
So, and back when this one came out, you know, there was still that feeling of it, right? And there was still that excitement of, oh, what new ways will they find to kill people, you know? So, yeah, it's still very, very new at this time. And but still, even to this day, I still think they're very enjoyable.
No, absolutely. I mean, and honestly, even with Final Destination Bloodlines, they still found new ways to disturb us. And I think that that's an achievement in of itself. So,
and it's one of those movies, no matter, you know, through the whole series, even if you got one, and you're like, that wasn't a very good movie overall. There's still always that curiosity of the creative kills they're going to use and do. Oh, so,
absolutely.
You know, they've really got that in their back pocket, that trick, you know, of that's always there. And there's always that appeal to it, no matter what.
No, absolutely. And that's what I was going to say, too, is even if the movie was absolutely, you know, horseshit, which sometimes they are, it still has that, you know, it still has that level of novelty to it that never really fades. It just kind of evolves in a way.
Yep. But, that's right. Yep.
But we love Final Destination. Happy birthday to Final Destination, the second one specifically, not the first one. I think that one came out at a different time, obviously. But love it. We're going to move now to February, which is crazy to think that in a week it'll be February. But February 3rd, 2023, we have Knock at the Cabin, which we did review. That one had me saying the whole all of humanity has been judged or something, yeah, like that.
I forgot about that.
Such a good thing. And this one, to me, not only is it such a great movie, it's made by one of my favorite authors. The book that it's from is made by one of my favorite authors. And he's actually getting a movie about another book I loved called Head Full of Ghosts. But anyways, I love Knock at the Cabin, but I also love Dave Bautista. Dave Bautista did such a good job in this movie. And to me, this really, I mean, obviously I love him as Drax, but this one really sold me on his acting chops. Just, oh, so beautiful.
And if I remember right, this is an M. Night movie, right?
It sure is.
Yeah. And yeah, I think this was one of them that kind of showed, you know, I know he had a little lull there where it was, you know, he almost felt like, he's losing something. You know, it's not as, and I think this kind of brought him back up to, there was this one. What was that other one he did here recently? With the people in the room.
That was his kid.
That's right. That was his daughter. Yeah.
Yeah. What was that movie called? The Watchers?
Yeah, something like, yeah, that is it. The Watchers. Yeah. Okay. Never mind. I forgot that was his daughter.
But I mean, still, anyway. I mean, influence.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think Knock at the Cabin really, you know, showed, you know, he's still got some things in the bag there. He's still got some good stories to tell.
But, absolutely.
Good movie.
Yeah, absolutely. And if anybody wants to watch our review of it, I mean, obviously we have a full review of it in the archives, so go seek it out. It's from a couple years ago. Goddamn, 3 years ago. Jesus Christ. sorry, mild moment of panic where I realized that was 3 years ago. But great movie. I need to go back and rewatch it though. That's haven't watched in a little while. So
yeah, I don't think I've rewatched it since originally. I don't know if I've ever done a rewatch of it. So.
Yeah. I think I watched it one more time, but I don't remember when that was. I want to say it was right when it came to streaming, which would have been like 2 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, if I did rewatch it, that would have been for me too, probably when it hit streaming. But yeah, I think it's due for a rewatch.
Absolutely. But all right. We got one more upcoming movie anniversary. We have, and this is our obligatory talking about this. February 4th of the year 2000. That was 26 years ago, by the way. So people who were born in the year 2000 are turning 26 this year, which is nauseating.
Yikes.
But Scream 3, oh boy. We love Scream, right? We love to talk about Scream. We love to yap and yap and yap about Scream. We could talk all day. We could probably do multiple series episodes about Scream. Each movie, each half of the movie. But Scream 3, I think we both agree with our previous rankings. Scream 3 is not the best. It's not the I think we had it at the bottom, maybe. But it was good. You know, it's still fun. It's just it kind of lacked the charm of the first two. And the other movies had other redeeming qualities that 3 just didn't quite have. But still, Scream 3 is still a worthy film to watch, especially if you just want to watch something for fun.
Yeah, and I think I'm pretty sure when we did, you know, the franchise episode on Scream, I think we probably said it numerous times. I do not dislike any of the Scream movies. I don't. I like them all. So it's like that's what's tough when you're ranking them, right? You've got to put something at the bottom or towards the bottom. And yeah. So unfortunately, that's, you know, hey, with some of the others, that's what happens with Scream 3, right? I still like Scream 3. I still like the approach. I don't think it's a bad idea. And I still like it. But it's, yeah, you know, it's like, okay, it's not great. It's definitely not one, right? One's really special. Okay, it's not quite as good as, I mean, so it's tough. But I still love Scream 3. I love the whole franchise. I like all the movies. And yeah, and I'm sorry if you're tired of hearing us talk about Scream. It's not going to get any better because next month, almost this month, we're almost there. We're almost within Scream February, and we're getting, you know, and it's we're getting all kinds of stuff out there now, right? We're seeing pictures of posters and billboards and little interview clips, and so it's really ramping up that promotional stuff. So bear with it because you're about to hear a lot of Scream 7 shit in the next few weeks.
Oh boy, yeah, Scream 7. I'm super excited for Scream 7. I'm not going to talk about it because obviously I'll just talk about it for eons.
Oh, and speaking of some news that I just saw, I think late last night, didn't even think about it. Matthew Lillard's launching a vodka, Ghostface vodka.
I saw that actually.
Yeah, and I mean, don't get me wrong, I love vodka and I will drink it, but I want it for the bottle. You know, just
100%.
Yeah, but and because Matthew Lillard did it, but so that's exciting, right? Everybody's getting pumped up and do, you know, it's this the promotional juggernaut's going. I mean, there's I saw a picture just a couple of days ago. I said billboard there in like I think it's in LA. There's this gigantic huge billboard that's just got, you know, Ghostface on it, like his arms extended, it just says like Scream 7 February 26th or whatever it is. And so that's, you know, and it's so we're there, right? We're doing that promotional, and you know, pretty soon they're going to start doing media appearances and we're going to see more and more. So as excited as we are, it's just they're just about to light that fire under us to get us even more excited. So unfortunately, if you don't like Scream, you're going to have some parts to fast forward through in the next few episodes, probably.
Absolutely, and they're going to get tired of us talking about Scream for sure. But
and I, man, when we review that episode, I don't think I mean that's not going to be a short review. That's going to be a we better hope that's a light news week, or else that's going to be like a 3-hour episode.
I was going to say, it's either going to be a light news week or we better hope that there's like nobody born or no movie
right.
anniversaries, you know. Oh,
we're gonna,
but I'm excited.
We're going to be like news for this week. Who cares? Scream 7 was out.
Who cares? Fuck you. No,
here's the news. Scream 7 is out. Okay, yeah. Here's upcoming birthdays. Hey, Scream 7's out. And movie anniversaries. Scream 7's been out for 3 days.
Scream and, 7 will have an anniversary in a year.
Yeah. Upcoming releases. Scream's still in theaters. The Scream 7's still in theaters.
Go watch it again.
Did you watch anything else this week? Just Scream 7.
Yeah, Scream 7. Oh, I did rewatch the Scream 1. Okay.
Yeah. What are we reviewing next week? I don't know. Scream 7 again? Maybe. I don't know.
We'll see. See how we're feeling.
So it's about time to get a ghost face on.
That's right. It is coming soon. So, but we will stop talking about Scream just for now. Just for now. We'll give you guys a break. All right?
February 26th.
But we will be back. Ghostface will return.
Scream 7.
It's like at the end of Marvel movies. The Guardians of the Galaxy will return. Scream will return.
Vodka. Oh, wait a minute. That's just a tangent. Sorry.
True. But anywho, happy birthday or happy anniversary to Scream 3. And we will officially stop talking about Scream for now. But we will.
Well, I will say, speaking of, I will definitely be diving into a franchise rewatch here soon too, though. So.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh, no doubt. I even told Kayla, I was like, before that movie comes out, we need to rewatch all of them because I've not watched.
Oh,
I've not watched some of them in years.
I just rewatched them all in October, and you know, leading up to Halloween, I rewatched the entire. But I'm gonna watch them again leading up to this. So, okay, that's the end of February. We have some upcoming releases before that, so let's get to those.
Absolutely. So a couple of upcoming releases. First things first, we got Iron Lung, which is coming to theaters on January 30th.
Is this that FDR movie? Wasn't he the one in the
end? And is described as in a post-apocalyptic future after. No. He wasn't an Iron Lung, but it's not about FDR.
Oh, shit. I've been so misled.
In an apocalyptic future after the. Oh, my God. Anyways, in an apocalyptic future after the Quiet Rapture event, a submarine called the Iron Lung to search for missing stars and planets. And we'll be reviewing this movie next episode. So there is a little bit of a backstory to this, right? For people who are not aware, there is a pretty famous YouTuber by the name of Markiplier. Markiplier is sort of like a gaming YouTuber. He does other stuff too, but I would say his like primary like focus is horror games. And he has done some cinematic stuff in the past, but the Iron Lung was a basically like a short game from a few years ago that he loved so much that he basically said, I want to make a movie about this. And he funded the entire thing himself. He did all the production stuff. He is the primary actor in the film. But basically he built this from the ground up, and it's super exciting because he basically distributed it himself. He basically got this movie put in all these theaters, and it didn't go through a major production house. Now, obviously, he's a millionaire. Like he's very wealthy. He's had a very, very fruitful career on YouTube. But like the fact that he was able to fund, produce, and everything else, a movie of this nature and get it into theaters everywhere across the States and even overseas, is absolutely bonkers, absolutely fucking insane. So that's enough glazing for me on Markiplier, but I just had to mention that if you guys haven't seen this or haven't heard of this, check out your local listings. It's gonna have a very short run, but Dave and I already got our tickets. We're gonna go see it tomorrow, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if I'm right, did I hear right? This is breaking the "quote unquote" record for most fake blood within a movie.
It is actually beating the 2012 or 2013 Evil Dead movie for the most blood in a film, which is insane to me because in the Evil Dead movie that it's beating, there's at least like a 20 to 30 minute scene where it is just raining blood. Yes. So this makes me wonder what the fuck are they doing in this movie? Because
it says blood ocean, so
true. It is a blood ocean.
I'm assuming there's a big ass vat of fake blood somewhere or whatever that is simulating. So, among other things.
Right. And also for people who are curious, you can find this game online, I think for free. I want to say it's a free game on Steam, but obviously Mark paid them royalties for using their game idea. But I want to say it was free at one time. I don't know if it's still free. But I know for sure you can go on YouTube and watch Mark play it or pretty much anybody play it. It was a huge deal a few years ago. I know that I'm going to rewatch the gameplay tonight so that way I can kind of have an idea of how everything's working, you know. I haven't watched the game in so long. I really don't remember what it's about other than the submarine thing.
Yeah, well, and if you look at like posters and whatnot, there's clearly some form of a creature in this blood ocean. Because yes. The posters and stuff show various things, right? There's bones. There's a couple of shots that show a little bit. There's one prominent poster thing that shows like the big eye, which, you know, they've got to have the obligatory, right? You're looking out some kind of a window on this sub and the eye comes to it, you know, that you've seen in like every cartoon ever set in the ocean. Yeah, it's interesting, intriguing. I'm curious to see this. Sounds fun. And again, you know, I don't foresee this being something where even if you even have to know of the game to be able to enjoy this, probably. I think it sounds like a pretty pretty creepy horror. I mean, subways creep me out. That thought of being confined and under that much water, I mean, the ocean creeps me out. not the ocean in general, the depths of the ocean, right? Because, you know, so, and I know this is not just the straight up ocean, but still, you're putting a lot of things that kind of make me itch here together. And I feel like there's gonna be parts where it's gonna
right
play on that confining aspect, and that, oof, that gets me every time.
Right. Well, absolutely, and I'll be honest with you. If I recall correctly, the game doesn't have a lot of like blatant lore or like story to it. It's a lot of implied or like subtext. So you're absolutely right. You could go into this completely blind, and it'll probably be a pretty similar experience, if not better, than playing the game yourself. But also, the fear of oceans, it's actually called bacillophobia. I too have this fear. I hate when I can't touch the bottom of water. It freaks me the fuck out. And the idea of like floating in like a blood ocean, like, also freaks me out for some reason. I don't think for some reason. I think that's a pretty valid fear, floating in a blood ocean. Sure. I feel like that's pretty rational. But yeah. But no, yeah, we're both super excited. I'm super excited to see this. I'm also super excited. This is a side note. We're going to get Hawaiian food tomorrow before we go. I'm super excited for Hawaiian food. Right. Oh, God, yeah. I love it. It's rice and meat and Hawaiian macaroni salad. Oh, hope everybody's hungry.
That's right. And I've always said one of the spookiest scenes ever in a film for me was The Creature from the Black Lagoon, where she's swimming. And it shows that underwater, you can see her swimming, and the creature's just below her on his back swimming. And he's kind of reaching up at her, but he's not really touching her. But yeah. She has no clue he's there. That has always been one of the spookiest things ever. And because you don't know what's down there. You don't know what creature. You don't know what kind of life. You don't know whether it's Jason submerged. Like, you know, who knows? So, yeah, this movie's, it might trigger me.
Yeah, I think it'll be good though, so I'm excited. But all right, we'll stop talking about the Iron Lung. Yeah. Everybody's like, oh my God, please shut the fuck up. But
what is the Iron Lung? Go back to Scream.
Right, go back to Scream.
We know what that is.
That's funny. All right, so we got one other thing. This one's actually cool too. Obviously, had the Iron Lung not come out on this day, this would be the movie.
This would have been it. I'm thinking I may have to go see this just to see, because this sounds great.
Absolutely. No, I was going to say, it looks very good. And it's directed by Sam Raimi. You heard that, yeah, right.
That sells me alone.
Oh, absolutely. And the people in it, too. But anyway, so Sam Raimi, of course, great. But he's directing a movie called Send Help. Debuts in theaters on January 30th, and it is described as an employee and her insufferable boss become stranded on a deserted island, the only survivors of a plane crash. Here, they must overcome past grievances and work together to survive. Will they make it out? Man, this is a nightmare scenario, right? Getting stuck in a remote island with just like the person you probably hate most.
Well, it's good to know there's a new opportunity for an acting credit for Wilson the Beach Ball from Castaway. It would be great if they could just put him somewhere in the background. I would give him so much props for that.
I mean, I feel like you have to. I feel like that's like the obligatory, like, stuck on an island. You got to have a beach.
Why would you not?
That's hilarious. But maybe Tom Hanks won't take kindly to that.
I don't think he'd care. I don't think he'd care.
I don't think he does either. I think he's got bigger fish to fry. I think he's working on Toy Story 5 or whatever. Right? Yeah. But no, absolutely. Yeah. Had Iron Lung not come out this weekend, we for sure would have been watching Send Help. It looks fantastic. The trailers look great. I think there's something sinister that's being hidden from the trailers. I think there's something deeper going on. There's got to be something even creepier, because that's how Sam Raimi always operates. He doesn't give you the meaty goodness yet. He makes you wait for it.
Yeah, there's something on that island.
There's some freaky shit on that island. That's all I gotta say.
So yeah, I definitely like to go see this too. So we'll see. Hopefully I can slip out sometime and go see this as well coming up. So sounds good. And if we do get to see it at any point in time, we'll mention, but, go see them both, right? Go support horror in theaters.
Yeah, absolutely. But, all right. That does it for our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and releases. So we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will have our official review of Return to Silent Hill.
Hey, Bruiser buddies, I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today. with the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Okay, and we're back here and listen to the screams. It is review time, and we are reviewing Return to Silent Hill. Let's hope I can keep this in check and not chatter for hours. This movie is written by Christopher Gans. There's more writers than him then. I was just with the one name, and I thought I'm moving on, and I was like, oh no. William Joseph Schneider, Sandra Vaughan, and it's, of course, based on the series of video games, directed by Christopher Gans, starring Jeremy Irvine, Hannah Emily Anderson, and others. It was released on January 23rd in theaters and grossed $3,252,000 domestically on opening weekend. Good for number seven. All right. I have not said a word to Ike about this movie.
Oh, boy.
And I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. This we might see a Night of the Living Dead kind of split here, where we go two separate ways with two separate podcasts. I don't know what you think, but I hated this movie. I did not like this movie.
What?
I did not at all like this movie. It was confounding, confusing. It was, I was bored at times. I didn't like the shooting style sides. I think had I had a understanding of the games and an investment in the games, maybe it might've been different. Cause I felt like there were certain things that happened here and there that were more tips of the hat and homages to the games that maybe I didn't quite grasp. I don't know. I understand what they were doing. I understand the concept behind it. I just don't feel like they delivered very good. And it's funny, you said something about the endings earlier. I thought the ending was weird. I don't know. I don't know why. It just felt weird. I don't know. I just had so much trouble trying to keep up with what was going on in this and what was, maybe that's the point, but I think it was a little too convoluted for me, I guess. Too much going on, too many, whatever, too much deliriousness or whatever you want to say and blah, blah, blah. And trying to figure out who's who and what's what. And, you know, and I think I grasped the concept and I won't say much. And it was also weird. On a side note related to this, I saw someone on social media. They had done a review of it too, right? And their thumbnail that they used on all their stuff, right, to promote it and blah, 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 and was a picture of that the guy, the Irvine guy, right, the main guy, that one of the shots where he has a beard, you know?
Yeah.
And apparently this person said the production company or whoever reached out to him and said they needed to remove their thumbnail because it was – spoiler. It was a spoiler. And I'm like, because he had a beard?
Maybe because it implies that there's like a future sequence maybe or something like that. I don't know. That's weird.
But I think that's a little, I don't know.
That's a little too unique.
My guess is because it was not a graphic or an image or a piece of a trailer that they hadn't released themselves.
Right.
They were probably going to say, nope, you can't put that out there. Because we didn't put that out there for the public. You shouldn't do it. And it's showing something we didn't grant the public. I don't know. That's what I'm guessing. Is just they're like, don't put anything out there that we haven't put out there. And that's why here on Listen to the Screams, we only use stuff that is put out there in promotional materials. For the most part.
For the most part.
Not all the time. We typically try to pull from like posters and stuff. Because that, again, we don't want to spoil anything. So that's the easiest way. I'm like, well, the production company put it on the poster, then we feel like it's safe to use. So, and obviously that's also some of the best graphics and images you get, right? That they put. Anyway, that's a side tangent. It was just weird. This person was like, I don't understand. It's like, they're like, I didn't even give spoilers in my review. and they're saying this. I was like, ugh. So yeah, I don't know. I'm sorry. I think this might just be one of those. We don't encounter it very often because of we have such similar tastes and likes, but I think maybe this is just what I'm just, I don't know, maybe chalks up to the age difference here that it's just didn't work for me. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's probably the same reason that people watch some of the goofy ass weird movies I like from the 80s. They're like, what the fuck is this garbage? Like literally, so there's a lot of times where people, I'll say something about, oh, And they're this person, oh, it's the greatest movie of all time. They're like, oh, what? You're talking about Rad, the BMX movie from the 80s? And everybody's like mocking me. I'm like, fucking, I love that movie. Don't quit. But no, anyway. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't like it. It didn't work for me. Just didn't jive. Great visually, there were parts that were great and whatever, but I don't know, man. It just felt too all over the place for me. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'm just too old and couldn't keep up. I don't know. And maybe it's one of those things that if I watch again the subsequent, and where I can maybe, where I've already seen it once and gotten that blanket impact of it, I don't know. Maybe it'll click a little more for me. I don't know. But as I sit right now, having watched it once, just I wasn't a big fan. And I'm sorry. I know this is dear to your heart. And but every once in a while, we're gonna have a difference of opinion. So be it.
That's true. That's true. I obviously I'll just jump right in. I obviously greatly disagree with your with what you're saying.
I figured. That's why I have not. That's why I didn't want to mention a word to you because I don't know. Because and that's and it's okay. It's fair. I don't care.
You're right. Well, and here's the deal. I understand why you think that way. I'm not gonna lie to you. If you play the games, it doesn't make any more sense unless you really like dive in deep. And
Yeah.
that's and honestly, how do I say this? It is the unique charm of Silent Hill games that it is confusing. The lore is meant to be confusing. It is meant to be mostly things that are inferred. For lack of a better phrase, the Silent Hill 2, so even so, like the movie you watched is pretty different from the game. Not necessarily in a negative way, it's just has some differences on how they approach different things, different the characters have different meanings. One of the things that I think that this movie did a really good job about, that perhaps the games do have sometimes have a hard time doing is it had a very conclusive beginning, middle, and end. A lot of the games do kind of dabble in like the whole concept of like time is a construct, but this one doesn't. This one's pretty straightforward. Even though it's still confusing, this the movie was I would say 10 times more straightforward than any of the games I've ever played from Silent Hill. So I would highly recommend you not play those games because,
Yeah, I don't want
but what I'm getting at, the movie itself had fantastic visuals. As someone who loves the Silent Hill games, and I love the other two Silent Hill movies because that's another thing we have to mention that there are two other Silent Hill movies.
Yeah, see, which I've not seen either of those either. So I completely came into this knowing, okay, well, I know there's a town named Silent Hill, that something's happening here, right? Something abnormal, whatever. And I know it's related to fog. That is pretty much the extent of what I knew coming into this for the most part, right? I mean, I knew no other details. I've not played games, I've not seen anybody for any length of time play these games in front of me, right? I've not seen the other movies, not read anything. So, I had no background. And I don't know. It didn't feel like a movie for someone with absolutely zero background.
No, it really isn't. And I'll be honest with you, Silent Hill, so the two other movies, it's called Silent Hill and Silent Hill Revelations. You could go into those movies with no background whatsoever, and they are very much more, they're a lot easier to digest because they are interpretations of Silent Hill 1 and 3, whereas Return to Silent Hill is an interpretation of Silent Hill 2. Okay. So, and what I'm going to say next is not necessarily a spoiler, but the reason why this was so hard to digest is that Silent Hill 2 is this weird, like, meta interpretation of like pain and suffering. Most of what we see is not physically happening.
Right,
And
yeah.
that's not a spoiler. That's a very common thing that's being made aware with the games or any minimal understanding of Silent Hill 2. But like the game, for instance, or I'm sorry, the other movies, those are very much real things that are happening, because the story of Silent Hill 1 and 3 is that there's like these old gods who like are being brought back in the form of a small child, and the small child is evil and this, that, and the other. Whereas Silent Hill 2 is like, so like in the video game, I do kind of wish one thing that they did differently, and I'm not going to say what they did in the movie, but in the video game, James Sunderland actually kills his wife. So I guess spoiler if you've never played the game that came out over 20 years ago. But in the game, he kills his wife. And the whole story of Silent Hill 2 is basically he's punishing himself because he basically has amnesia and forgets that he killed his wife. And he gets a letter from his dead wife, who is in Silent Hill, to come meet him or her. So you go to Silent Hill, you fight all these monsters that are basically interpretations of your suffering and of your pain and this, that, and the other. So Silent Hill 2 is this really weird, like, and the movie's different, like, because I'll just be honest, it's very different from the original story, but it has the same story beats, the same feeling. It's just that it approached it from a different perspective and makes James Sunderland look like a little bit less of an asshole than he is in the games. But yeah, I really greatly enjoyed it. The visuals were great. The nods to the video games were great. It was a fairly true adaptation as far as video game adaptations go. I mean, I think that the most true to form adaptation we've had in years was like the Super Mario movie. So like just to kind of see a horror game finally get its, you know, just desserts is really cool. Obviously Rotten Tomatoes tore this movie apart, but fuck those guys. You know, those critics just, they don't know what they're talking about. And, but no, I love this movie. I could keep rambling on and on and on and on about this movie. I really could. It's just, I don't know. Silent Hill and Resident Evil are two very niche things that, like, I love. And like Silent Hill 2 is so, so interesting to me. But the movie was great. The movie is fantastic. I can't say any more about it without spoiling. But it was spooky too. It had some good scares in it. The monsters look really cool.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you want your revenge in June, the Masters of the Universe movie comes out that that I'm already saying is a 5-star movie and that I love. So
it looks good though. I think it looks great. I love stuff like that. You know what I mean? I love it when they just randomly pull out an IP and they're like, let's just remake a movie in modern day.
This hasn't been random. This has been every year for like 20 years they're supposedly doing this. And
really,
when they said that this time, everybody's like, yeah, okay, fine. Yeah, sure. It ain't getting made. And they're like, because they've had other He-Man's cast before and everything else. And it's so the fact that we're here, anyway, side note, but yeah, I can't wait to see that movie. Anyway, we won't review that, even though it is kind of fantasy. And I don't know, it's got a skull face guy, but I don't think we can fit it in horror. Okay. So let's rate this thing. If we were doing Yelp reviews, we probably will average out here to give a middle of the ground review. Unfortunately, I'm going to give Return to Silent Hill a 2 out of 5 screams. So I'm sorry. So I go ahead, cancel out my 2. What are you giving it?
Well, much like you know, my political leanings compared to some of my family, my vote will cancel out your vote. And I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. You know, I loved this movie. What can I say? I mean, I would give this a 5 out of 5, but it wasn't a perfect movie. It was perfect in the sense that, like I have theories about this movie. I have developed theories about this movie as it is, like, full force. Like, maybe one day I'll talk about my theories once this movie's been out for a while. But, like, I just love this movie so much. I have to give it a 4 out of 5. It's so amazing. I want to rewatch it again. I'm waiting for it to. It'll probably come on Screambox because it was a Cineverse production. So we'll eventually get that on Screambox. But oh my God, I love it so much. 4 out of 5 from Mike.
Yeah, probably won't take too long to hit streaming.
No, it is super limited release.
Yeah. So, all right. So there we go. Moving on. I am very glad you enjoyed Return to Silent Hill. I know you've been waiting for it for a long time. So,
oh, yeah.
So again, it's not horror related, but this is the reverse of this is the Masters of the Universe movie here, right? Where I have this lifelong deep love of this friend, you know, this IP, this franchise, this whatever, since I was a kid. You have a more peripheral, you know, knowledge of it or whatever else. And this movie's coming out and, yeah, so I think it's just the age thing here, I think, maybe.
It is.
Yeah, so anyway, like we said earlier, next episode, we are reviewing the movie Iron Lung. Again, I'm a little disappointed there'll be no FDR mentioned in this. Maybe there might be a mention. Never know. But yeah, no big whatever that is, that big machine. I don't know what you call it. It's an iron lung. Or whatever. So, oh well. I guess we'll just deal with the submarine in the blood ocean. Don't know. I'm already giving it two screams because no FDR. No. No. I might give it four screams because there is no FDR. No, anyway, that's what we're reviewing next episode. Everybody go watch it if you can. And also while you're out there, just do a double shot and go ahead and watch Send Help as well.
Yes.
Or if Iron Lung's not in your area, then just go watch Send Help. Just go watch whatever. Go watch Return to Silent Hill while it is still out there. I don't even know what else might still be out there. There might still be some other horror still in theaters. I'm not sure. I don't know if Bone Temple's it. I'm guessing it's probably still out there.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So go anything you've not seen. Go give it a watch. Support it all. Get the cool popcorn buckets or whatever else you can. Just support horror and theaters as well as on the streaming services. Go out there and watch it on all the streaming services, everything you can. But make sure you do subscribe to Screambox and Shudder. Those are two great services that we highly support here on this show. And speaking of support, we'd like to thank our wives and all of you listeners and followers for all your support of us over the, several years now. I mentioned it earlier, right? We got reviews that go back 3 years now or so. So, we've been doing this a while. So I don't feel as bad that, scheduling caused an episode to leak through last year. I think we've been pretty consistent for years. So, all
Exactly.
right. Thank you to everybody for your support. Be sure you subscribe to us on social media. We're on pretty much any platform. Just search for Listen to Screams or just look up Listen to the Screams and you will find us. Before we close out and move along, Ike, anything you want to add?
Oh man. Well, first and foremost, go watch Silent Hill. It's probably only going to be in theaters for like another week, maybe. If it's still in theaters, honestly, I'd be super surprised. It had a super limited run, and like at our theaters, the only show times were like at 8 o'clock at night. So,
Yeah. What was the budget on it? 20 million or something like that? 20 million? Is that what I saw?
yeah, I think it was like a $20 million budget. So they had to have taken a loss.
Well,
It,
so far, not, we don't know. This is just domestically that number I threw out earlier too. So we don't know, right? I mean, I would venture to something like, again, I don't know much about it all. I figured, would this not be probably a pretty decent drawing release like in Japan and stuff like that?
I would venture to guess. I would assume that worldwide it probably had a pretty decent pull. I know Japan is where the Silent Hill originated, so I'd venture to guess they probably had a pretty good roll over there.
I don't know, but it is a tough market. So yeah, go out and support it, especially if you want to see more of this or you really enjoyed it, right? Go give it rewatch us and help them make a few bucks. So,
Absolutely.
but
Well,
continue on.
also.
What else do you were adding on, and I cut you off.
Well, I was gonna say, I forgot to mention earlier, the guy who did the soundtrack for the original Silent Hill 2 actually did the soundtrack for this movie. So he did like, yeah, so the same guy.
Was there a lot of the same themes and stuff pulled from the game? And I mean, reuse of.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of the same music was, it was a little bit different, but you could hear the similarities. And it's kind of like that old like 90s video game kind of music, you know what I mean? That they just kind of, it's not cheaply made, but it was easily made, and oh, I love it. It's just a fun like little nod to the games too.
Yeah, I did hear a little bits of the music here and there because of when, posting promotional stuff. Like, you can put music in on Instagram and of course on TikTok. So, I always put something from the soundtrack or whatever. Well, I think when I pulled up Silent Hill, I think it was the game, it was game themes. But I
Oh,
thought,
probably.
whatever, good enough. That'll work. And so yeah, I did hear it. It was just creepy. It was very and of course I heard it in the movie as well, but
Of
yeah,
course.
so. So yeah, again though, don't listen to our opinions. Go out there and see it for yourself. And I give it a watch. Go watch it all. So, all right then. Until next episode, when we will be reviewing Iron Lung. Wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.